Amen. Would you please pull out your Bibles or your Bible apps and join me in John chapter 9. We'll be in John chapter 9 this morning. Well, last week we witnessed a miracle, the healing of the man born blind, but beyond just the healing itself, the heroic response he displayed in the faithful retelling of what Jesus had done in his life. Today, I believe we see an even bigger miracle in the conclusion to that story. We're going to be in John chapter 9, looking at verses 35 to 41. I'll begin reading now in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Please pray with me. Lord God, we are thankful this morning to be in your presence, to be sitting in the sanctuary in the midst of our worship as people who come at your invitation, people who recognize you, your Holy Spirit here among us. And so we welcome that presence and we are so thankful for your invitation. We come before you as a congregation who are grieving the loss of loved ones, and we ask that by your presence we would receive comfort from you as well. We are where we need to be right now. We are thankful for your presence in each of our days. And we're thankful as well for the gift of Scripture in each of our lives. Scripture teaches us so much about you and so much about us and our need of you. And today's story will do so in a very pointed way. So now as we look at your Scripture this morning, please give us eyes to see just what you want each of us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we rejoin our story in verses 35 to 38, Jesus finds the man that he had healed in our story last week. Last week began with Jesus seeing a blind man, noticing him as he walked by, and we took note of that. But this week, Jesus actually seeks and finds him. Why? Well, because he heard the man had been kicked out of the religious gathering. He heard that those religious leaders had no space in their lives for his healing story, and they kicked him out. But Jesus also seeks him and finds him so the healing within him could be made complete. He says to the man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" This Son of Man is a title especially used in the Gospel of John. It means divine messenger sent from heaven. And this man, he wants to believe so badly. He says to Jesus, "Tell me who he is so I can believe." You can sense the eagerness in this man and in all that he has experienced in these last few scenes. He doesn't know quite how to do this, but he wants Jesus to identify who that Son of Man is. Now, a special note here is that we don't have any evidence from last week's story that this man who was healed actually saw Jesus, that he set his eyes upon Jesus, only that Jesus placed that mud upon his eyes and sent him to go rinse in the pool. But he did hear Jesus' voice. And now the one who is asking him about the Son of Man is standing in front of him asking with that same voice he heard right before the healing in his life. Jesus now says to him, "You have seen the Son of Man. He is the one speaking to you." And we have to imagine how it all came together for this man at once. At this point, he does three specific things. He calls Jesus Lord. He confesses a belief in Jesus, and he worships Jesus. He doesn't just admire Jesus. He doesn't just respect Jesus. He doesn't just give Jesus thanks. He worships Jesus. And this fits the progression of what we've seen in this man's life across these verses. If you look all the way back into verse 11, you can see he describes Jesus as a man called Jesus. Then in verse 17, he describes Jesus as a prophet. In verse 33, he describes Jesus as one who must be from God. And now in verse 38, he calls Jesus Lord. This man has now come to faith in Jesus. He's not just the recipient of a miracle, the recipient of Jesus' healing, or even just a faithful messenger. He now has come full circle to a faith in Jesus. And this prompts another showdown with the Pharisees in verses 39 to 41. It's prompted by Jesus saying, "For judgment I have come into this world." And Jesus gives two reasons for the judgment. He says, so that the blind will see. And theologian Del Bruner says, those who are blind are perfect patients for Dr. Jesus. They are the ones who know they need Jesus' help. So that the blind will see, but also, Jesus says, so that those who see will become blind. That might give us pause. The physician is going to blind the patient. Is that really what Jesus is saying here? And the answer is no. He's talking about patients who are difficult for any doctor. A patient who doesn't believe anything is wrong. A patient who doesn't see any need for healing. They become almost impossible patients for any doctor. And so the Pharisees respond by asking if Jesus is speaking of them. Are they blind too? They ask. And he responds, since you claim you can see, your guilt remains. Let's unpack that a bit. The Message translation says, since you claim to see so well. And I think that helps. Because there's this sense here of Jesus saying, since you think you have it all figured out, you're blind. There's a sense here that they aren't open to any new evidence. That they are utterly convinced that they are right about everything. And we can almost hear Jesus pleading with them in this moment. If you would just admit that you don't know it all, I could heal you. Those who feel like they know it all, those who feel like they have it all figured out, those who feel that they have arrived and have no need of healing of any kind, they become the worst kind of patients. And Jesus talks about them in another place as well, in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. This is a teaching about those, according to Luke, who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. Wow, what an introduction. And it sounds fitting for the Pharisees that Jesus is interacting with here in John 9 as well. Jesus is teaching those confident of their own righteousness who look down on everyone else. In this teaching, two men go to the temple to pray. One of them is a Pharisee and one of them is a tax collector. The Pharisee stands as the religious elite, the religiously serious. They are the ones who are devout and they're following after God. They are the ones who are humble, we would assume, because of their understanding of God. And he has gone to the temple to pray. But then the tax collector was the one who had betrayed his country by collecting taxes for the nation of Rome. They were the ones who were seen as sinners. And so it's these two who go to pray in this moment. And yet they pray in different ways. The Pharisee is filled with pride. And in his prayer, he's boasting in what he's done and thanking God that he's not like all of these other sinners around him. However, the tax collector in his prayer was humble, repentant, asking for God's mercy, pleading for God's healing. He knew he needed healing. And Jesus says he went home healed and justified as a result. This is what the Pharisees in Jesus' presence are missing. The fact that we all need healing. Jesus can only heal those who know they are blind. Those who might know quite a bit about him but remain open to new evidence. Those who aren't concerned with comparing themselves with others, but instead desire to simply draw as near to God as possible. And you know, I don't think it's just about knowing that we need healing. It's about also choosing to turn to Jesus, the great physician, to receive the healing that he's offering us. It's not just about the knowledge, but it's about the action of turning and receiving what Jesus offers to us. Last week, when I stood before you to preach, I could tell, even in the middle of a sermon, that I was getting sick. My voice started to feel a little more labored. I had that post-nasal thing going on, and I thought, oh, brother, it's going to be a week. And so as I moved into my week, I got sicker and sicker. I even called in sick to session this last week. I mean, pastors aren't allowed to do that sort of thing. Just sicker and sicker. The sinuses started hurting, and I kid you not, by the end of the week, my teeth were just aching from the sinuses. And I was taking over-the-counter meds during the week, but I'd resisted going into the urgent care or to my doctor. Call my doctor, it's going to take me weeks to get in. I'll be over this already. But going to urgent care, I'm going to sit among a whole bunch of other sinners. No, I mean sick people. Sick people. A whole bunch of other sick people and get even sicker and be there for hours. And so I just resisted doing that the whole week. And yesterday morning, Mandy and I are sitting on the couch, and she just looks at me like only a spouse can and says, "Why on earth have you not gone to the doctor yet?" I caved. I got online, and by God's grace, I found an online appointment, and within an hour, I was talking to a physician, and within an hour after that, I was taking the prescription medication she had given me. And I kid you not, I feel like a totally different human being today, less than 24 hours later. Why did I wait all week? Why did I not reach out to the physician for the healing that I needed? I'm not entirely sure. I was stubborn, and I didn't want to be bothered, but I think the same can happen for us. It's not just blind and then seeing as a conversion to faith in the first place, but it's anything that's happening in our lives, in our souls, in our emotions, that is in need of the healing that only Jesus can bring. It's not enough to just know about it in our minds. Because we know that Jesus is here. He is waiting for us to turn to him and receive the healing that he offers. Let's do that. Let's not wait. Let's receive the gift of healing that Jesus brings to each of us. Our everyday hero, who last week showed us what courage and truth-telling can accomplish, has modeled for us today what it looks like to be healed of spiritual blindness and really anything in need of healing in our lives, so that we see who Jesus really is, and each of us, in each one of our days, falls before him in worship, just as this grateful man did as well. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, you are the healer. Our scriptures teach us that. And you are ready and waiting to welcome us into your family if we've yet to believe and trust in you. But also in each new day, you are ready with arms outstretched to heal us of whatever it is we struggle with. A temptation we can't deny. Healing from the past over wrongdoing and suffering that we've experienced. Grief and sadness at work in our lives today. We turn to you, Jesus. We offer all of ourselves to you, and we ask that you, as our divine physician, would bring us the healing that you promise. We pray all of these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.